That was The Pooteens. I love that name. The Pooteens, featuring Julian Lawrence and others. Here, let's get that mic in the middle there, Mr. Colin. This is the Ink Stud Show, the show where we talk about comics. I don't know. Pick a mic, whichever one you want to talk. Tell us about The Pooteens, Julian Lawrence.
The Pooteens. Pooteens are playing a show at the Railway on Wednesday, December the 27th. We're a three-piece, gronky, jazzy, instrumental, old school.
Old school.
Guitar, bass, drums.
Guitar,
lots of melody.
Isn't it surf music?
It's all kinds.
Okay.
Surf, skronk, jazz, instrumental, pop, rock, prog.
What's skronk?
What is skronk?
Well, if you live in Saskatchewan, skronk is something...
It's a type of STD?
Well, an STD could be a result of skronking in the bushes.
It's like, so it's like crumping. It's like crimping.
That's not what crumping is.
Isn't it?
No.
Crumping
is like an artillery barrage.
No, crumping is a dance.
It's a dance. But if you dance in the bushes, you know, wow.
Pimp C of Crump fame was born on my birthday.
Are those the guys that dress up as clowns?
Yes.
Yeah, they can be. In fact, no, they are. Of course they are.
They can dress up as clowns.
Crumpy the clown.
Crumpy the clown. On that note, I am Robin. This is the Ink Stud Show. I'm joined this week by Ted Dave, Julian Lawrence, and as always, Colin Upton, man of mystery.
Hello. Who am I?
Why am I here? They are here. Why are they here? They're here to talk about Drippy Town. The new issue is out. And I'm just going to do a little preamble. I haven't been here in a while, so I'm going to tell people I went through a horrible experience getting my wisdom teeth removed.
Oh, do tell.
Not fun. Spitting up blood clots, waking up with a fever, then begin giving antibiotics, and then the antibiotics, short story, turns out I'm allergic to penicillin.
Ouch.
I was not a pretty boy. Well, less pretty than normal. So Drippy...
Wait, you mean you were all swollen up? There was there infestation?
There is a picture of my swollen cheeks. I had hives.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like a 15-year-old boy on a Coca-Cola.
Well, your complexion's
McDonald's
looking lovely
Bender
today.
And
I assure the listeners that there is no blotchiness.
No blotchiness.
He's like
no.
A
no more than usual
alabaster
lake
luster.
Exactly. Like a glacier.
The English rose complexion.
But I can relate to that whole wisdom teeth experience. I had all four of mine taken out at once under a general anesthetic. Coming out of the anesthetic was a whole new experience.
I've heard many stories of people like an altered reality. They're coming out and it's like, where am I? And start getting up and stuff.
I had my wisdom teeth out and it didn't bother me much.
All four of them at once?
I think it was two of them.
Yeah, that's great, Colin.
I had my wisdom removed by four episodes of Friends.
Oh, Joey.
It was one of those marathons, and by the end of it, I was dazed, and I felt kind of hallucinogenic and lightheaded,
and your pants
I was
were
coming out,
out
of the anesthetic, and
your pants were around your ankles.
Exactly.
But do you still have your wisdom teeth, Ted?
Well, the teeth are there, but they're hollowed out now, and so it's just a grim facade.
Just a little nerve ending sticking out. Occasionally, you eat ice cream, and it just burns.
One of them fell out by itself.
It just...
One of yours?
The crown, the top of the tooth, just one day just fell off, and I went and I got the root taken out.
We're on the radio.
CITR 101.9 FM from UBC. It's a stormy day in Vancouver, some thunder and lightning. So we're going to talk about a stormy comic, Drippy Town, a rainy home of Drippy the Newsboy and Mayor Gumdrop. And the factory that stinks up the city and makes people have to take pills that the factory provides us with.
This is the fifth issue of the Drippy Town anthology. Fifth issue in 6 years. And that's some kind of landmark, I guess. And this fifth issue is dedicated to the memory of the still living Robert Dayton. But we remember.
I was having trouble figuring that one out.
Yeah. We thought we'd throw Rob some, kudos because he named Drippy Town back in the day. Well, he came up with this idea that it was anywhere you feel drippy, but I think it was also because the original... that's what he said. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to know where I feel drippy.
Yes, exactly. It's, but I was going to say it's also because the original Gazette was distributed to like Olympia, Washington, and Victoria, BC, and basically everywhere it rains, the kind of Cascadia thing. It was a Cascadia concept, basically. Any Drippy Town is Cascadia.
Cascadia.
And, unless you go too far south and then.
Then you're in it for
then it dries up. It dries
yeah.
Up.
Well, you've got Tony Millionaire, and he's in Cali.
Yeah, he lives in L.A., doesn't he?
I think just outside of L.A., in like some kind of weird suburb.
Yeah, like L.A.
Pasadena.
Is, yeah,
Pasadena.
There's only like 7 million people in the suburbs of L.A. or whatever. He's one of them. Hunched over his desk.
He's a tall man. The guy is huge.
Yeah, he has to hunch over his desk, really?
Probably. He's like, you know, probably like 6'5" or something, and he could probably club you down with one of the swing of his arm.
Wow, that's why he draws himself like that, with the giant hands and the stoop shoulders and everything.
He's a big guy.
Because he really is like that. He can barely. The room can't contain him. I thought it was just his talent that the room could not contain.
Or his empties.
That's probably how he survived all this time.
Yeah, but yeah, really. Yeah, he can beat people up. It's true.
But he's such a mainstay. Tony Millionaire's been. He's been with us like since the beginning.
Yeah.
Since 8 years ago.
Since the newsprint.
The beginning?
The beginning was summer of 1999. Terminal City had just died.
Oh, again.
No, this is time number one.
Oh, okay.
It was not the first time. It was more like the. It was almost the third time, I think.
For Terminal City?
Yeah. Yeah. It had gone under, you know, it had gone under for at least a good year or something.
Terminal City is Vancouverese for bankruptcy.
Maybe it's the second time.
That's the reason they called it Terminal City.
Terminally dead.
Hey, well, at least, you know.
But before it had gone
It's a funny
under,
name.
You've been putting together a cartoon supplement?
That's right. In Terminal City for a couple of years, I was doing almost a quarterly supplement called Cartoon Party. And then when Terminal City did go under, Ted, Dave, Robert Dayton, Lester, and myself, along with some...
Lester Smolensky.
Lester Smolensky of Bang On fame.
Yeah, he designs all them T-shirts now, those Che Guevara with an afro and everything and all that. That's him.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Or David Hasselhoff.
With an afro.
An afro in his pants.
So we started a Gazette, a monthly Gazette, to fill that Terminal City void called the Drippy Gazette. And that's where the whole concept of Drippy Town and Mayor Goody Gumdrop and Drippy the Newsboy delivering the Drippy Gazette to everybody.
And it was because Julian had basically put together the cartoon party that was supposed to go in the Terminal City, and then there was no Terminal City. So, the Drippy Gazette.
Yeah, and we had a foundation on how to create a newspaper on newsprint and how to publish it.
Yeah, we're getting used to it. But I like to notice that the new issue's cover is basically a cartoon party, which was not necessarily intentional, but... of course, it's like in the old DC comics when they'd show like, you know, some really spectacular scene from a fight between the two main characters. And then you'd get inside the comic and there'd be like one panel where he hits the guy or whatever, you know. But it was somehow expanded. So it's kind of like that, because inside in Julian's story, Drippy the newsboy goes to the Forbidden Zone to go to a big bash, a big party there.
I gotta say,
big drunken
that party looks. Awesome. I want to go to the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
It gets better.
Don't we have a Forbidden Zone? You can go to the Forbidden Zone anytime. The SkyTrain stops
wastings.
There, I think. Pain and wastings, indeed.
Are you sure it's not Wally now?
Yeah, exactly. That's...
Well, you have your choice, you know.
Yeah.
You can buy the stuff on Main
version?
And turn it over at Wally. That's so it is a cartoon party. We've kind of come full circle in
the thing that I like about the cover, too, is that it really reminds me of that Superman versus Muhammad Ali cover, where it's...
with all the celebrities in.
In the stand watching.
Neil Adams' favorite comic that he did. Did you know that?
Did Neil Adams draw that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and the cover.
Wow,
and
that's great.
Neil Adams was a guest in the Inkstuds. Quite a time ago.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Wow, we're in good company.
Yep. You are in good company.
Did he sit in my chair or Julian's chair?
Did he sign the book?
No, he was in New York on the phone.
I think
he would probably charge me $500 to sign the book.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then sue you.
No, he doesn't.
For a pension.
Oh, yeah. You're living off my radio appearance.
Yeah.
No, God bless. He's
Neil
a good
Adams
man.
That Schuster and Siegel got... justifiable recompense for their Superman creation.
Yeah, he advertised himself as a savior of comics, and In some ways, he is. He's done some great stuff. His best way of putting it was, you know, DC didn't want to pay Siegel and Shuster money, mm-hmm. which was basically the amount that they pay them is what they pay a secretary in the office.
Right.
So he's like, just do it. Like, you know,
yeah.
one guy was sleeping on his brother's couch in Brooklyn, and they had, like, a broken window in their living room, and it was like, it's a sad, sad story.
It's weird how it can get to that with the old celebrities, you know? And it's funny, because just before we came on the air, Colin was asking us how many of these characters, of approximately 200 on the front cover, you know, did we copyright, or do we consider to be, you know, real characters or whatever? And, of course, now, like, you know, you draw something and you own it, and that's all there under Canadian law. But, you know, like, all those old guys used to get so screwed over, like, everyone from Little Richard to Stan Laurel.
Oh, Robert Crumb would keep on trucking. I'm reading all these interviews that he was giving in the
70s. Oh, it's pretty crazy.
And, yeah, he owed, like, $50,000 in back taxes because he lost the copyright. And then suddenly his lawyer, who wasn't paying the tax bill, says to Crumb, oh, well, looks like you owe $50,000 on all these sales that you don't really own now.
And you wonder why he moved to France.
I don't.
It seems like the oasis for elderly comic scholars.
Or Johnny Depp.
Well, Art Spiegelman moved there for a while after 9/11.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I thought he sort of referred
chicken.
To Tom as being a chicken for moving out of the States in the 90s.
Well, after 9/11, Art Spiegelman decided he just couldn't handle America for a while.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Couldn't handle America
for
freedom.
Yes, the bitter taste of freedom.
So we go to France.
I'm going to play some music
acrid
now.
Smell.
It's not France, it's freedom country.
Some music, yes.
Some music. I'm going to play July 4th Toilet, which is a project consisting of yourself, Mr. Julian Lawrence,
that's
and
right.
Robert Dayton.
The still living Robert Dayton.
Yes.
Yes.
Lest we forget.
The mustached man of mystery. And some other people, I guess. You can tell us a bit about July 4th Toilet when we come back.
Okay.
Has he Fu Manchu'd that thing yet?
I wish that would rock.
Okay.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge and heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my
dirty red bandana. I was flowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, and Bobby clapping as we finally sang up every song that drove. Thank you.
coming at you with the bucket of crap show. You better stand back. It's gonna splat. Making a mess all over the dress. I don't know what I'm saying. Don't know what I'm saying.
Too bad for the funky that it's rap light. Too bad for the funky that it's rap light. Dope and I'm stupid and I'm extra fat. The white ass black and knows fuck about rap. He's all up on the mic. Would you get him a trike? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying.
Know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm
the
saying?
The white ass black and knows fuck about rap. Knows fuck about rap. He's all up on the mic. Would you get him a trike?
Oh, look, he's messed it up, right?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
I'm looking for my posse. Looks like that they lost me. Was they trying to ditch me? Or what is that I can't see?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I ain't got the lingo. I'm like a gringo. Lost in the desert. I got the desert. I'm gonna serve it, cause I'm your waiter. You might as well not wait there till later. Cause I won't be back. I haven't got the tracks. I ain't got the rhymes and I haven't got time. I'm a busy guy. I gotta work on the fly. I'm under the table. I'm not even able.
Give it up. I don't know what I'm saying.
Spray paint, I'll play the marimba.
Don't tell me to hurry. Got nothing to worry. I'm not going to stray. I went to school in Surrey. If you got the baseline coming down so fine, like a hand of doom, gonna make you a tomb. Like your bed. So when you are dead, don't know where I'm going.
Too bad for the funky that is rap light. Too bad for the funky.
Give me my phone, give me my trap. Give me a TV, you won't be unwrapped.
Too bad for the funky.
I'm gonna be on the wheel of fortune.
To heaven, it be God that was praying. His feet is slaying. Still don't know what I'm saying. Send it to heaven, it be God that was praying.
Oh, look out, guys, he's back on the mic. He's shining like a light that's so bright.
You better run, cause it isn't going to be fun. You got him with no meter. He's coming up like a quart, bucket holding a liter. I'm stealing the rhymes, I'm stealing them all the time. This is cause I can't hold my own. I don't know what I'm saying, better hang up the phone.
Too bad for the funky that it's rap light. Too bad for the funky that it's rap light.
Yeah, that was Problematics off the album Nozzlematics.
No, just Nozzlematic.
Noozle-matic?
Yeah, something like noodle. Noodle. Noodle spastic.
I'm just giving Ted a hard time. I'm being a jackass. Sorry.
That was me on the vocals. That's why I was trying to rap with and my pals, the Problematics.
What?
Because I am down with the Problematics.
Are you down with the Brown?
You got a problem, I am down. Town.
Brown is the theme poutines are into.
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
It's why you look like UPS deliverers?
And, yeah, why is that?
And the Poutines are going to be playing at the Railway on the 27th, right?
That's right, with Ghost Train.
In their brown shirts.
In their brown shirts.
In their brown shirts, playing the Brown Notes.
Oh.
Oh.
Brown Note Records is actually my record label.
No.
Yeah.
Can we be on it?
So yeah, now they have to pay you. Now it's getting like that.
You want to be on it.
You want to be on the same label as the Fudge Packers?
Well, who wouldn't?
I'll, yeah.
And Fudge Packers, we got to get a show going now.
What about the Shitties? They're a local band. They're pretty good. I like the Shitties. Up. Oh, did they?
Aww.
Oh, there's no more Shitties.
Okay, so we played the July 4th.
Too bad.
The July 4th Toilet, which is your project.
Speaking
with
of Shitties, July 4th Toilet is another project that I've been working on for the last 12, 13 years.
Wow.
When are they playing again?
Probably for the record release of the track that you just heard, which is called Balls Boogie, featuring me and Bobby McGee, comma, Kentucky Whore.
And more.
And it might be and many more.
And
or
many
plus
more?
More. I can't quite remember. Rob has a real
I'm
solid
just
going to
leave it like that. And
it.
Maybe it'll just bug him with it not being written down in some anonymous database somewhere, right? He'll get mad at me.
You could just put three dots and trail off.
There we go.
I'm glad that you can actually get most of the title in there.
I can get all the title. I can do like the whole fucking Fiona Apple thing, you know, and the pawn falls and it's really sucks and it's a crappy album. No one should listen. Sorry.
You can take a little review after it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new Drippy.
Okay.
Let's talk about the new Drippy.
We have Mr. Mark Bell, Vancouver, I don't know, figurehead of weird symbolistic.
He's a
comic.
Legend. He's a hero.
Coast he's a coast. Legend. Is he's, the guy 30 yet?
It's hard to tell because he's kind of ageless, isn't he?
He's
holding up well. He's got to be 30.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm hitting my keyboard. Oops.
No, anyway, Mark Bell. Yeah, we got him in there, and of course, you know, people know his work from Vice magazine. He said that one of those strips was in Vice magazine, actually, which...
And you probably paid better than Vice.
I didn't know that before we put it in there, but I love those comics. They're hilarious comics. They go well together. The extreme comics and the relaxation comics. And it seemed like a good opener. He opened the issue last time. He opened the fourth issue with his return of... No, what was it called? Pizza Pie is Over.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. This one, normally you open with Table of Contents. Why the choice to open with the Mark Bell strip?
Straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. There's not very many compilations around anymore. And Donald King was saying the other day that it's because there were so many lousy ones in the '90s. You know, and maybe that's true. I don't know. But I don't know. We just sort of thought, you know, if you're coming to Drippy for a little Mark Bell, here it is right away, and then the Tony Millionaire, and you know, we just kind of wanted to
forget about the rest.
Get straight to the goods. You know, it's. Yeah, I think that's
it's all good, though.
There is no table of contents.
At the back.
Right at the back.
Oh, right
it's
back?
It's like the roll the credits at the end. It's like
it's around.
It's closing credits.
Around.
Yeah.
So, of course, Tony Millionaire, always important to have. You guys got involved with him, you're saying, 8 years ago.
With the Gazette.
With the Gazette, the Drippy Gazette.
And he still remembers you.
Totally. He's a keener.
He's an odd man.
We've never laid eyes on him, is what I've never laid eyes on him, which I think is interesting. You were just describing that he's like 6'5", and we don't even know that. And he's such an enigma, you know, because did you know he had cartoons
wearing,
on Saturday Night Live?
Oh,
you
they're
know,
awesome.
Had, yeah, I mean, like, he's huge. And
he was wearing a pastel-colored T-shirt. Or not shirt, not T-shirt, but like a button-up shirt.
Oh yeah. Did he have the tie? Did he have the bow tie?
He had the bow tie at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
for the Ignatz Awards.
But he's so generous, you know. I mean, he did the second issue cover, and, you know, we said, what do you think about that? Kind of thinking maybe he might have to squeeze it into his superstar, rock star schedule down there in Los Angeles and
in
all,
Pasadena.
You know. And, yeah, and then he's like, he, you know, instead he sends us back a drawing. Use this. Here. Done. finished already. Like he's such a wizard. I can't believe it.
Page comic.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A bunch of strips.
Yeah, like you want a piece of me here? You know, it's like that. It's like yeah.
So has he been sending original material?
I guess he usually emails it, doesn't he? Does he?
Yeah,
does
he emails.
By original material, I think Colin means not original art, but material that's not printed in something else.
Sorry, geez, I didn't mean, of course. No, absolutely. We've had
about a page of original, and then we've mixed up strips and stuff of his whenever we've asked if we can do that.
These new ones in the fifth issue here
Joy Boy, Randy Scooper.
They are original for us, but then we did fill up the page at the bottom with two Mackie strips. And he just said, pick a couple you like. So we did. But
they're all awesome.
Can we tell the other hilarious thing about the generous Tony Millionaire? It's like he only asks for one comic. When we go, we'll send you some copies so you can give them to your friends. And he's like, I only need one.
Yeah.
And I guess that answers that.
No,
yeah, like what is he saying? But it's funny. Like I'm paranoid that something's, you know, there's going to be like a flood or something. I want to keep like one in one place and one in another place, you know, that kind of thing, just in case. But that's part of being an anal retentive comic collector since I was about 4. So we'll deal with me later. But he wants one copy. It's like that's what he asked for. It's hilarious.
He's a great guy. I interviewed him on the show a while ago. He didn't even remember me interviewing him. That's the funny part. I'm like, hey, I did the interview with you. He's like, oh yeah. And he kind of gave me this look of like, who is this kid? It was a great interview. You know, he was severely hungover when we interviewed him. He was trying a new thing where he would drink a lot and not eat at night.
That's a new thing.
So he could sleep better.
Oh, okay.
He said it's a bad idea because he gets really drunk and really hungover.
Mm. So he's not really, you're saying that he's not really exaggerating that drunken persona, that kind of
persona? No, he was definitely hungover.
Well, I mean, he draws himself in the strip with the little bubbles and, you know, he's got a lot of alcohol in his comics, so... But he really,
has
a lot of alcohol in his life.
Listen to the...
Draw what you know is what he told us.
Yes.
That's true.
Huh.
Yep. We are also... I'll continue with the stuff in the book because I think people need to know what greatness is in it. The always lovely and wonderful Robin Constabaris.
Mm. Yeah. But what do we got? Like 12 people in this one, I think it is?
You got a bunch. Yeah. You got a bunch.
Two Robins.
Robin Constabaris and... Robin Fisher with the young Adonis with her story about another Robin, which I'm trying to figure out is if that's me in there because she talks about her friend's Robin in Vancouver.
Probably.
Am I the white shaft?
They're drunk in the comic as well.
Yeah, well, that's usually me. I don't drink, really. If you want to know what to get me for Christmas, though, scotch.
Glenfiddich
tape.
Or Livet?
Better than that.
Oh, not much better.
Oh, I got some good stuff at home. One of my faves, friend of the show, always here once in a while, try and make a point of something being awesome or crap, Mr. Don King with his little Akira strips, which I love. I think they're brilliant.
They're so funny. And, you know, I saw Rashomon twice because it was such an impactful film that I had to watch it twice in order to really understand it.
Oh,
and having these little Akiras in there just...
Well, does this bring us to the sort of emergent Archie theme of the fifth issue, which is a wonderful thing that can happen?
Archie... I read the article, the Christian Archie Comics, the History of Christian Archie Comics.
Yeah, the History of Christian Archie Comics by Cliff Nestoroff is our article. But that was the article, or did we have the Akiras first? But, of course, Donald King has drawn his little Akira... Lil Akira, LIL'Akira,
yeah.
With the sort of Archie style logo, and it just seemed really fortuitous that he gave us, you know, this when we had the Archie Christian Archie Comics history as the article, and then of course gave me the excuse to draw Archie holding the stone tablets there.
But the little Akira, it's drawn more in a little Lulu style.
But again, she was you're right, but yeah, she's sort of mashing up all that Archie Harvey kind of style.
Now I have a question about the articles. I noticed most of them. I didn't take a look to see if all of them have articles in them about different kinds of comic history stuff. Is that an important thing that you guys feel you need to have in Drippy Town?
Yeah. That's something that we wanted to have right from the start, was to have articles that not necessarily just comics, but that would sort of touch onto comics in some way. So yeah, in the first issue, James Lloyd did this. expansive essay on EC Comics.
He loves EC Comics, and that guy lives and breathes zombies and eyeballs.
And it is all in the article, yeah. He called it EC is for me, the title. And then he starts off with, like, EC is for me, you see? No, you don't. You know, and it goes on like that. But, he kind of kicked it off with that. There was really a lot of information in that first article, and we thought that since we were mutating out of a monthly newspaper, that, you know, it seemed appropriate to try and have some writing in there still. And I guess again we were kind of hoping that, like, other people that had been writing for the Gazette, like Robert Dayton, you know,
who does his thing about Marvel Comics in the 60s.
Yeah, he gave us the second issue. You know, so again we kind of came out strong with these articles and sort of thought it would be a good idea to have some information in there, you know, actually, just to sort of, I guess, I don't know, we feel like, constantly researching the history of comics is, like, really a worthwhile pursuit. So if we can kind of point someone in a direction or whatnot, you know, I mean, every article's got just about, a web reference, you know, so that, like, you know, you can completely immerse yourself if you want to follow web trail of the article.
Oh, there's so much great stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's really, it's what they're best for, probably.
It's educational as well as entertaining.
Yep. We hope so, yes. And so far, I think it's gone pretty good, because I really like Cliff's article. It's pretty humorously written.
I quite enjoyed it, too.
Who is Cliff Nesterov?
Well, he used to be Shecky Gray, that punk rock stand-up comedian guy, but now he's like a zine, like he's sort of using his vast knowledge of weird music, I think, to try and make a kind of a media career, because he's on CBC, he's on that Brent Bambury show, Go, sometimes.
Once a month.
And he comes on and tells about weird records, and I love his zine. His zine is Generation Exploitation, which I guess we saw at that small press fair that was at the Western Front last year. Mm-hmm. And so I picked up a bunch of Generation Exploitations then. And we already sort of knew Cliff, though, from around town. Like, you know, we...
Yard sales.
Vaguely. We were vaguely aware of his interest in the music and whatnot, and weird music. But, yeah, I don't know. His zine was great. There's a lot of... I thought I knew a lot about Lenny Bruce, and I read his Lenny Bruce article, and there was stuff in there I didn't know. And this great album cover that he reproduced of... Did you know Lenny did an album cover where he's on the cover with, like, a black woman in a bikini and a Chinese woman in a bikini and a bunch of black guys in Ku Klux Klan suits, and they're all, like, hugging him and kissing him, and he's standing in the middle of them all. It's very edgy stuff for 1958 or whatever the hell it was. Yeah, unbelievable, really, you know, so... Raw Lenny, but Cliff's teaching us this stuff, you know, so...
Good. It's it's an enjoyable article, and the articles don't... that's the thing, is they're well-written, and they're well-informed, and they flow.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really break up. You don't get to go, oh, God.
Eventually, it'd be kind of nice to edit them all together into a Drippy thing? Town reader of some
The kind. Drippy Town reader.
Yeah, yeah.
And when's the Drippy Town collection coming out? You know, the graphic novel?
Hey, we just have the new issue.
It's a good question, actually, because maybe that is the advantage I was thinking this year, you know, about having that anthology format, is like now it's kind of... Now that it's the fifth issue, we've kind of built a body of work, and people are, you know, they can expect an article every issue. They can expect some Robin Constabaris every issue. So I feel like it's starting to get, like, a little bit of a format, you know? Yeah.
But I think the ultimate thing is the fact that what we wanted to do was to create a comic book sort of in the historical way that comics have always been produced, still sticking to the form of the comic book being, you know,
the
glossy cover, stapled in the middle, something that you can just sort of carry along with you. And
so there's a true love of comics with the two of you.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Comics history.
Absolutely.
A love of the history, of the form. And, you know, we grew up with it, and it grew up with us at the same time, too. So, yeah, rock and roll, comic books, these things are integral to our being.
On that note, speaking of rock and roll, I'm going to play Points Grey, a project that you yourself, Julian, are involved in with, once again, Robert Dayton, mustached man of mystery, and Dan Behar.
Bearded man of mystery.
Behar, actual rock star.
Actual rock star. This is a limited edition album of 100 copies, available, I think, only at Zulu. It's a nice little package. I think I may try and track down a copy, but I just hate going to the West Side. That sound bad. Yeah. No, okay.
No, that's good. I have a camera.
Points gray. Offshore. CITR 101.9 FM.
People hate you in this town. Don't you know what that is like? People hate you in this town. Don't you know what that is like? They will kick you, put you down. Don't you know what that is like? You have been around too long. They don't know you or what you're like. You're the perfect candidate to where they aim their hate.
Yeah.
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 People hate you in this town. Don't you know what that is like? People hate you in this town. Don't you know what that is like? People hate you in this town. Don't you know what that is like? In a room of messy situations, nothing ever goes quite right. You know you can't avoid it, and you know you cannot fight. You're the perfect candidate to where they aim their hate.
Yeah.
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 No, nobody likes you here. Nobody's like you here. Get out. Don't you know what that is like?
Oh, dead air. What's with that short ending? There's, you know, there's still 10 seconds left and it's still going.
No, that was the reverent, you know, the reverent sort of closing, yeah, where you consider what you've just heard. Consider it seriously.
Consider it's like, sounds like you've done something bad. Consider that. Consider that. On a note of comics history, I just want to let people know of some shows that are coming up next month that the Ink Studs are doing. We will have a guest, Dan Nadel, will be one of our guests next month, who did the great book Art Out of Time, which I'll be joined by the Mustache Man of Mystery, Mr. Robert Dayton, will be doing that interview with me. And it's going to be quite interesting. Dan's a very, very smart guy. I'm a little intimidated about interviewing him because you read anything he writes and it's like, God damn. And I think he's like a professor at the Parsons in New York.
That's a great book, too. Art Out of Time.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Also be joined by Denny Eichhorn 1 week, who, if people don't know who he is, he did the great series called Real Stuff from Fantagraphics and Real Smut and something else. I can't
Real
remember.
Schmuck.
Schmuck. Real Schmuck. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. And we'll also have K. Thor Jensen, New York cartoonist. Go to my live journal to watch a video of him on Blind Date.
He was actually on Blind Date?
Yeah. It's awesome. He goes on about how he tells the girl that he did gay porn in Seattle. He totally just like had fun with it and stuff. And it's good. And
was there a second date?
He could have. He could have. Oh, yeah. She was into him.
Oh, that's good.
She
that's
liked
good.
The gay porn Thor. Yeah, no, he's a funny guy. He's a...
So is that how we have to compensate for being cartoonists with women when we talk to them? We have to say, I'm a cartoonist, but I also did some gay porn in Seattle. So now you want me.
Now
you go, Ted. Here, your wishes have been answered.
Yeah, it's the you know, you can't do regular porn, though. Then you're shunned.
You got to be sensitive.
What would Robin Bougie say right now?
Nothing you can broadcast on the radio.
Yeah, we can. We don't have the FCC here. No one's listening. We're alone in the studio. It's a quiet day here at UBC.
And no one's listening on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, was that a tumbleweed?
Crickets chirping.
Okay, Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. If you want to call and complain about us sucking balls right now and complaining about no one being around, 822-2487. Or if you have a question for these fine young gentlemen, 822-2487.
We made a comic book.
They made a comic.
Drippy Town 5.
Drippy Town.
Great Christmas gift.
Great Christmas gift. Lovely cover by Ted Dave and Julian Lawrence. You guys both did an awesome job. It's both you did the cover, right? That's it.
Yeah, it's a jam.
I was going to say, it's what they call a jam.
Yes. Harkening back to
I
the
even
old
see
traditions.
A little Neubauten cameo on the cover. Who was that?
Einsters and the Neubauten, absolutely.
Did you go to the show?
I did. I saw them in Vancouver last time they came through. What was that, 04? Yeah.
It was good. It was, and within 2 months of that, I went and saw Kraftwerk in Seattle.
Nice.
I was feeling a little Aryan.
Nice.
I saw them in Vancouver, 96 or 86?
86, oh, okay. Expo.
When they came for the Expo. Yeah.
When they lit the
wild,
stage on fire.
Wild. Did they play the Expo Theater?
It was an outdoor venue.
Yeah,
it was outdoor.
Everything was at that.
Well, Tangerine
theater.
Dream played
yes.
at that. And apparently they're just phenomenal. I'd love to have seen Tangerine Dream. Music sucks. Live show, awesome.
My good friend James Lewis went to that show. I saw the Tangerine Dream at the Expo Theater. I remember fondly the stuff I saw at Expo Theater because it's gone now. It's where GM Place is.
Oh.
It's where it was. But it was half open air. That was the coolest part of it. But I think they ripped it down not only because it was kind of smallish and Expo was over, but you could jump over the wall. You could just scramble up the side of the thing and hop down. And if a security guard didn't happen to see you, you were in. You know. So I think maybe that was it was getting a little out of hand that way.
At the I just want a little anecdote of being at the Neubauten show. I saw the dredges of society there. There's just one guy standing behind me, and he had a facial tattoo of a handprint. Now. You laugh now. Mm. It's the handprint from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, now I was laughing. Now I'm just kind of sad.
You know, on the monsters and whoever does the
Yikes.
Hand thing.
Saruman's logo.
Oh, here we thought hand. It was like a mafia thing, you know? Like,
no, it's the guy looked like he was right out of a Dungeons and Dragons game. And
he went to
probably
see
had like
and a new about.
Yeah.
That's wild.
He
the reason we mention that is because, of course, the logo
is
on
the cover of Drippy Town number 5.
Yeah, it's on one of the characters' T-shirts.
Now, where can we pick up Drippy Town number 5?
Oliver Town, Comic Shop, RX, Magpie, Zulu,
Lucky's?
Absolutely.
Did you get up to Lucky's? I haven't gotten up to Lucky's yet.
Lucky's, it isn't there yet, but it will be there. And also, they might have ordered some through the distribution company, so it's kind of like it might be there before we get there. But we always take some over to Zulu and Magpie on Commercial Drive and RX on Main Street. We love those guys.
Those people that are listening to the podcast, Diamond will be shipping this to whatever stores that order them. I would suggest checking out Jim Hanley's in New York. And that's probably one of the only comic shops I've been to in the States. So,
but absolutely, yeah. That's why our confusion, because the, you know, like I say, the local guys get it from the distributor too. So it's sort of like, this is like a preview, really. It's not quite out yet, I guess, is it? As far as the distribution.
I shipped them out 2 weeks ago, yeah. And there should be in stores after Christmas, officially.
Bah humbug. Now, you guys did a launch party, a karaoke launch party. How was that?
That was fun. Doubles were $5.50.
Highballs were $5.
Every Wednesday night, Robin Constabaris does a Tickle Trunk karaoke at Hoko's down on Powell Street.
Hoko's sushi restaurant, yes.
Yep, Hoko's Palace of Edible Goodness.
And it's an excellent machine because it actually gives you a rating. after you've performed, and I don't know what the criteria
is. The robot gives you the rating. The machine gives you the rating, which is like you just, can you feel more judged, you know? Like you get up there, you get the courage to sing in front of your pals, half cut, and then at the end, the machine gives you like a rating out of 10.
Out of 100.
Was it out of 100? Yeah, it was a percentage, like, but it was funny. I think it was like it based on like if you were loud and you got the lyrics right.
Was, yeah. Probably just
but
loud.
The machine doesn't get the lyrics right.
Oh, and hitting notes, I think, also counted because they seemed to, you know, favor the people that could actually sing.
I heard you were a pretty good singer up there, Ted.
You know, I was winging it. I did Hot Child in the City, and I kind of turned it into a tribute to Don King because he was leaving while I was doing it.
And Don King has some wonderful strips, as we talked about Lil' Kira. And he also did the Colin Uptown strip.
Yes, yes, he dares to mock the great man in this latest issue.
The legend.
Is it mocking or is it homage?
It's an homage, really, isn't it, of course, but it's...
Drawn in the style of...
We
you didn't even tell him that was going in, did you?
He gave it to us, so, I mean, he knew there was a chance that it was going to go in, but...
we weren't going to bring it.
I really like the idea that it's... We have... This sort of homage to Colin by Donald King on the page just before Colin's story, so they face each other on the page spread, and I like that the idea that like probably 50% of the readers aren't going to notice that it's not an actual Upton strip, you know, they're probably just going to just glide
Colin's
right
just
through
like,
there.
That's great. Yeah.
Or just the nice transition from Colin's or Don King's Colin strip to Colin's actual strip, where you see in the first panel of Don's version, there's Colin watching TV, and then when you get to the first panel of Colin's, there's the main character watching TV.
Yeah, but it's not me.
Well,
the character in my story
indeed,
me for a change.
So is TV an important theme for you, Colin?
Well, the weird thing is on the previous page, we got 3 pages in a row in this issue where people watch TV, because here in Robin and Young Adonis's strip, there's someone watching TV right there
That's
as well.
Right. So bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, 3 pages with panels with people watching TV and
I
just love it when those kind of little themes emerge. You know?
I think people are just ashamed to admit they watch that much TV.
Oh, I watch ridiculous amounts. I'm not ashamed. And let's talk about a couple of the other strips in here. Ted, Dave, you have your These Things Don't Make You Punk. Are you angry?
I am never going to not be angry, Robin. I was an angry
so
young
punk.
Man. I was an angry young man. Now I'm in an angry old fart, and you know that's just how it works out. I guess they told me I was going to calm down. They told me I'd get older and I would stop being angry, and it didn't happen, and that makes me angrier.
He's just feeding off his anger.
Can't you see how riled up I am? It's partly the caffeine. But,
it's going to hurt me. Yeah. And Colin, do you want to tell us about your strip in this?
Well, my strip is the Totty Morphus, which was written by my good friend, Gerald X. Jupiter Larson, who is a real person who does exist, contrary to some rumors. But it's a sort of science fiction story in the Twilight Zone, I guess you would say, style. He sent it to me as a short story. I broke it down into panels and drew it up as a comic for his noise zine, and I asked him if it would be okay if we reprinted it in Drippy Town, because I wanted a comic people to see it as well.
So was it not full size when it first ran?
Oh, it's about that size.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's about the same. I drew it all sort of standard comic size.
Yeah.
We placed you last, too, because we kind of like the fact that...
batting cleanup.
The character passes away.
Oh, ending it on a high note.
Yes.
Well, the same thing happens in Drippy Town 4, the previous issue.
It ends with
a high note.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer Colin Upton ending it than the end of both issues there, but it's
a tradition.
Well, on the back page of the last issue, Drippy, the newsboy, turns into a skull.
Yeah.
And that's not my doing.
I was trying to carry over the theme a little longer.
So there's an undercurrent of doom in Drippy Comics, despite its bright, cheery facade.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty true, I guess.
Yeah, that's an element that's always been in a lot of my work, sort of keep a cuteness, but then behind that cuteness veneer, there's definitely something bad going on.
Is this a good time that I can... Sorry, Colin. I just want to say, like, what exactly does the Forbidden Zone represent? Like, is this something worth discussing with the readers? Because it seems like it's sort of a Babylon kind of a thing, but, like, can you tell us, like, from the lips of the horse there? from the horse's mouth, you know what I mean?
The lips of the horse, that's like some source. Fear factor challenge.
I'm mixing all my metaphors. I misremembered.
I've always figured the Forbidden Zone is what isn't Drippy Town. So when you step out of the realm of Drippy Town, you're entering into the Forbidden Zone realm where pretty much anything goes.
Are we living there now?
Yeah, yes. Does it represent like the real world? Is that that's always been my impression. Like, does it represent the real world? Like, there's Drippy Town, then everything outside of Drippy Town is the real world,
like
hence
the
Forbidden Zone. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, that's how I visualize it. I see you get out of Drippy Town, you've left the safe surroundings of, you know, what would be considered your home, and then you're suddenly in an environment that is constantly threatening.
So Drippy Town's kind of like a Norman Rockwell kind of a place, kind of a
refuge?
No, well, again, it still has that cuteness, but behind the cuteness, there is that tension. Yeah,
behind
there's always the tension. So the Forbidden Zone is encroaching upon Drippy Town as well, as a fire sort of coming into it. So there's this sort of battle between Drippy Town and keeping the Forbidden Zone at bay.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I noticed, like, the Forbidden Zone is often on fire.
Yeah, you'll see the flames in the distance, which sort of contrasts with Drippy Town being
the moist?
More moist. Yeah.
A juxtaposition?
I see. So the idea that if Drippy Town could spread, it could potentially quench the flames of the Forbidden Zone.
Or vice versa.
Mm. What I want to know is...
Boiling Drippy Town.
Mm-hmm.
What's this about asses eating people? Where does that come
from? Now, you can't just drop it with that on the radio. How are people going to know what you're looking at
there? Well, you know, it is your Christmas story from the first issue, you know?
That's right. The origin of France's ass's eye.
Now, for everyone who doesn't have the comic in front of them, it's a character Julian Scott where the guy's got a face on his instead of a sphincter.
He's got a mouth with teeth. He's a co-joined twin.
Oh, he's a co-joined twin. There
yes.
you go. And he's a
co-joined.
CEO. He's a CEO of a giant corporation
from 1799.
Yes. Oh, yes, and he's... Well, why is he... Yeah, he lives on. He's not really human.
He's thousands of years old.
Okay.
And he's been behind the scenes the whole time, is kind of how I see it, in the Forbidden Zone.
Ah.
So he hasn't quite, you know...
So he's the power in the Forbidden Zone.
Yes.
And he eats people...
Well, yeah, literally. Yeah. When they're talking about in issue number 5, when he has a merger with the other company, he actually consumes the other company.
With his ass.
Which is actually his face.
So is Drippy Town some sort of like organic granola crunching hippie kind of anti-corporate?
I would say it's more like Days of Yore.
But yeah, a little bit of Days of Yore. More Luddite, I would say.
What's Days of Yore?
Back at craft guilds.
Oh,
come on, Colin.
When the world was actually fine, just before the Industrial Revolution, when, you know, little communities would create their own forms of art and culture was all part of their every day-to-day existence.
And the bubonic plague.
God bless the plague.
I wouldn't say corporations saved us from the plague.
Quelling the mass.
I wouldn't say that either. Did you know that I heard that the plague was extended by hundreds of years because people used to have those thatched roofs and the plague rats would live in the straw roof of your house. And if you just got a tile roof, you wouldn't get the plague. But they didn't figure that out for hundreds of years. Way to go, Europe.
So that's Drippy Town?
No, that has nothing to do with anything, actually. I just thought I'd drop
awesome.
That in. I don't know. Something I read in that Fourth Horseman book.
Damn.
I'm just kind of dumbfounded now.
Rats.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they were like, you know, they were just part of the landscape in those days, I guess. Like they, you know, not like they're not now.
Oh, they're still around. Los Angeles, 20 Millionaire was talking about rabies in squirrels, wasn't it?
Really?
Yeah. No, actually, I heard that on the news. It wasn't 20 Millionaire.
Well, I've seen enough rats in Mount Pleasant lately. They're there.
So how's number 6 coming together? Do you even think about that?
Well, there's some leftover stuff. And actually, for this recent issue, we actually went through the what haven't we reprinted kind of file. Because initially, we had a lot of submissions from the Gazette that were still there. And, you know, we kind of had the option of running them. But over these 5 issues, I think we've kind of, like... You know, probably use the cream of it, but there's still, yeah, I don't know. There's a folder that's Drippy 6, and it's got a few pages in it. It's got to have at least 10 pages in it already, kind of thing. So, but some of that stuff might get bumped because it got bumped before. So, I think that's what we're looking at, and it has to do with like who shows up when, I think, as well. Like,
bring it.
Well, Robin Bougie, yeah, bring it any time, for sure. You know, submit like crazy. But, you know, Robin Bougie, he's been working on a big project. So he's not in this issue, but he'll be back next issue, I'm sure.
He'll bring it.
Yeah, exactly.
One question. We're nearing the end of our hour. CITR 101.9 FM, Inkstead. Jason McLean. Every issue does a thing for the back cover, almost.
Yeah,
he's been in every issue. Absolutely. He had the first three back covers, and then the last two we used some other stuff. But I got the back cover last time. But and then now this new one wraps around, so it's kind of like the front and back cover. But now he's the contents illustration. But I don't know. We love Jason McLean. Why not?
Been there since Cartoon Party.
Yeah, exactly.
Cartoon Party.
and it's funny, it's like I always feel like inevitably someday there'll be like a Mark Bell Jason McLean cover, probably, because remember they used to jam everything, like from the Jazz Fest poster to, you know.
Well, there's the great Naga Dodd book, which has all that stuff, which I highly recommend everyone, from Montreal publisher Conundrum Press.
Right, right. But sorry, what's the title again?
Naga Dodd. Don't ask me. Don't.
Well, I just, you know, it bears repeating. I don't know.
Naga Dodd.
I thought you were falling asleep there.
No. Inkstuds, thank you for joining us. Ted, Dave, Julian Lawrence.
Anytime.
Colin Upton.
Have a nice Christmas.
I didn't say that. We're going to end the show with...
Hail Satan.
Oh, which disc did I put it in? Oh, I forgot which track we're going to play. We're going to play Wonder Woman theme. Why? Because there's no women here.
Comics, man. It's a comics thing.
It's a comics thing. Up next, Crimes and Treasons. I haven't seen them yet. Let's hope they can find a way into this building.
We might be the only people left here.
So we might be playing nothing but music by Julian Lawrence for the next hour.
There's a whole university out there. It was very easy to get in.
Yeah.
Listen to the music.
Listen to the music.
Fabulous Housebound.
Listen to the music. I'm going to become part of the music. I know these songs.
Here is Jackson.
Oh, the tale of a donkey is one of two things. It's a story of something that swishes and swings. Ah. The one thing's for certain, no one can say. The tale of a donkey is the name of this song. There was a fine friend of mine way down in the old zoo. He was a small donkey and he was happy too. When we'd come to my house, he'd drink lemonade. He'd sit and swish our tails around and in the shade. Oh, the tale of a donkey is one of two things. It's a story of something that swishes and swings. But one thing's for certain, no one can say is wrong. But the tale of a donkey is the name of his song.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jack Cass. These folks are my mule skinners. They keep me from dragging my tail. Tale of the donkey is the name of this song, but the tale of